Hola y bienvenido a Planeta Sala. I'm Veronica Vilsky speaking with Hannah Slick, who is one of the students in our Spanish and Human Services program. As someone experienced in the social work field, she's going to share her insights into Spanish immersion and also give advice as to how a social worker should portray himself or herself. Hannah, thank you for taking the time to speak with me, as I would imagine you have a full schedule.
Thanks. No problem.
Can you tell us more about yourself?
So I'm a third-year doctoral student, so earning my PhD in social work. So at this point, I do primarily social science research and teaching. Before I went back to school for my PhD, I had a license in clinical social work, which I still hold. And so I used to practice, but now I just focus on research and teaching.
Is that what you'd kind of like to stick with then?
Yeah, so with a PhD, it's mostly just academics and scholarship versus practicing. As long as I keep the license, I could always do that. But at this point, yeah, it's mostly research and teaching and that kind of thing.
Nice. Were there any concerns you had before you attended the Spanish and Human Services Immersion Program?
In terms of the program or in terms of the experience?
Either maybe traveling or the actual program.
I don't think in terms of traveling, because I had spent time in Central America before, and I had spent time in Eastern Europe and then in Russia. So I felt pretty confident as traveling to different countries and traveling alone. I think just the one concern one thing I was thinking about before going, I wasn't sure, since it was going to be a wide variety of human services students or people in the field. And so I was just curious to kind of find out what other people's backgrounds were and their perspectives on being a U.S. Resident, U.S. citizen abroad. So I think I was more just curious about how much experience the other students had had in that regard.
And what did you find in regards to that?
I felt there was a wide spectrum in terms of students who had traveled abroad before. Some hadn't. It was their first trip away from home or out of the country, out of their home state. I was surprised that a lot of the students didn't have a strong foundation in Spanish, and some didn't have a foundation at all. So I was surprised that this was definitely a big change for a lot of them, to have hours of class in Spanish and then also to be doing volunteering or visiting other sites around the city. It seemed like this was a big stretch for some of the students, and some did seem very less prepared to be traveling in a different country and being under different stressors and different experiences. And that was a surprise for me.
Yeah. So for you, what was your Spanish level going in?
I guess it was pretty advanced. That was what I was told. So I started in the 300 level classes. So it was pretty strong. I haven't had a ton of practice in the past year or so, but I had spent time in Spanish-speaking countries. I visited Puerto Rico recently in December. And then I also read interviews in Spanish for my research, too. So I had a pretty good foundation going in. And even I talked to one of the directors beforehand, and I actually came to Lima a week early, into Peru a week early, to go to Cusco and do some additional travel, because I wanted to kind of have a chance to acclimate speaking Spanish again and also just the area. So I felt like that was a good transition, a good piece of advice for me to have that week for me to kind of explore Lima a little bit and explore more of the country and then feel ready to start the program.
Yeah, that's a really good idea. And you do feel like that was a good idea on your part?
Yeah, I mean, I was able to do some more travel, so I didn't feel pressed to do more travel during the program, since there's classes most days of the week, there's not a ton of time to go do extensive travel. And then I feel like it was helpful just to kind of know the city and know my neighborhood before I started the program, so I felt pretty comfortable spending a lot of my energy on the classes and the volunteering. So that was helpful, and I think it helped then going into they evaluate your oral proficiency in Spanish as well. So I think I felt comfortable enough going right into that and starting my classes on the first day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've actually never heard that piece of advice, but that completely makes sense.
Yeah, and I think it depends if you're speaking Spanish a lot before you go, but since I had had kind of a break, I was doubtful about my abilities. So I wanted to make sure I had some time to feel more confident.
Yeah. So how did your Spanish change over your weeks of classes?
I think it did improve. I really enjoyed the classes, and I think it really helped having a strong foundation going in, because I was able to really immerse myself in the volunteer experiences, and then with my family, and then the classes, and then the last 3 weeks I was in a class with a psychology student and just talking to her about all different cultural and social events and talking mm-hmm. about her role as a therapist. And so I was able to really benefit from speaking with her for several hours a day, and then going to the different volunteer sites for the different visits and being comfortable asking questions and, you know, really just being able to interact with the people there. So definitely, I'm pleased with the amount of practice I was able to get in, but I also realized that wasn't the case for everyone else, because they didn't feel like their level was strong enough
mm-hmm.
to ask questions, or they weren't confident. Or I think I also spent a lot of time with my host family, and then I also kind of went off on my own, so I wasn't around English speakers as much as some of the other students.
Right.
So we had a week, we had the Fiestas Patrias, so like the Independence Day, and so we had a couple days off, and so I actually went out of town with my host family and met up with a friend of a friend, and she doesn't speak English, and I went on all these tours with other Peruvian families, and so, again, another context to practice. And I think that helped too, just making kind of forcing myself to be around native Spanish speakers versus being around the group at certain points.
Yeah, definitely. And it's nice to kind of be relaxed and learning too, you know, still
mm-hmm.
through tours and speaking.
Right, right. Different contexts and different vocabulary happening in class. So just be able to soak it in and ask and meet other people too. So I think that was really helpful for me.
Yeah. What types of shadowing and or volunteer work were you able to do?
So our group had two different sites. One site, so both were, I guess, directed by the Catholic Church. The first one, it's kind of like a residential center in one of the districts in Lima. And it's for people from different parts of the country. And since if they don't have a contact in Lima, this is a place where they can stay and have food and have a safe place to sleep while they're receiving medical care. There's a social worker there, there's nurses. So there's people of all ages there who are waiting to get medical care in Lima. So that was one place. And then the other one was kind of like a school, but also, I don't want to say like an orphanage, but it was more of another residential program for lower-income kids whose parents work during the week. And so, or the parents were receiving treatment, or it was kind of a place where the kids could stay for the week but also receive school.
Mm-hmm. Neat. So all the Spanish that you learned and all those experiences, how will those apply to your career?
I think it's definitely being confident in just speaking, especially with the social human services vocabulary, that will definitely help me. And then I think just having a context for what other human services systems are in parts of Latin America. Of course, it varies per country, but again, it just broadens my context of what people who are coming to the United States, what politically, economically, or socially, kind of what their experience was in Peru or in other parts of South America, and what it's like for them to them be in the U.S., or what, even just historically, what's the context for why people might have left Peru, or why they're needing to go back. And so, again, it just gives me more information for the type of research that I do. So I study suicidality amongst at-risk youth, and a large part of that is looking at that within immigrant families. And I also have done some research on early learning for immigrant children. And so, again, it just gives more context of what the experiences and the experiences of the youth parents, what they bring when they come to the United States.
Yeah, interesting. Mm-hmm. Kind of going back, you mentioned that you traveled with your host family. Did you feel like you were welcomed into their family then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed that a lot, and just hanging out with them at their home. And the son was learning English, so I'd help him with his homework. And then we had a teenage girl, and, you know, I'd hang out with her a little bit and talk. And I definitely felt comfortable and safe there. So that,
that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I definitely enjoy, I've always enjoyed living with a host family. It's always been a good experience for me.
So you mentioned to me that some of your fellow classmates, and this is before we are speaking now, but you mentioned that perhaps they could have made more responsible choices.
Mm-hmm.
Can you kind of give some guidelines? Like, what should, I mean, you've kind of been through this before, so what should Spanish and Human Services students or even just social work people keep in mind while in the program?
I think even before starting a program, I think each person should kind of have a conversation or have an idea of how, even depending on ethnic identity or racial identity or just their personal identity, how that might be received in a different country. And I think that's really important for everyone, I think, going abroad. I mean, depending on how you look, we might be approached differently. And I think there's always different racial, cultural, and social dynamics happening in different countries. But I think that's always a good conversation to have with someone else, or just with yourself, about how you might deal with that if you're kind of perceived differently than you are from where you normally live.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's something that, you know, social work programs talk about. It's really important to kind of just have a good idea about your identity and also be comfortable with how that might be received in different contexts, because especially with Peru too, I mean, there's a history of slave trade, and there's a lot of ethnic discrimination. So again, I think it's just important to kind of be aware of how you might be received by how you look, or even just being a U.S. citizen, a U.S. resident abroad. And I think it's also important to know that people are paying attention to you. And again, I think just to kind of be aware that if you're staying with a host family, you know, being courteous to them, I mean, you're still a visitor there, and just being courteous about their rules and how things are different, and also just be aware that things might be, you know, uncomfortable at first, or, you know, there's going to be stressors, there's going to be good days and bad days, but I think just being aware that, you know, there's going to be some discomforts as well. And I think there's a difference between doing like a language program versus a language program with an emphasis on human services and social work. And I think that there's that professional element. And I think, I mean, just again, my thoughts too, and other programs I've been in, I mean, you have a important role, and you're there to learn about the people, but also you're also representing a profession in the United States as well. So I think, you know, not swearing, being mindful of how you're dressed, listening, being attentive, and really wanting to take advantage of these opportunities as well. And kind of
yeah.
Being, mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Translating that back to the career too, like, how have you seen that appropriate interactions and upstanding behavior can affect a social worker's life?
And after a program, or in...
Yeah, during or after, or just like out in the actual, I mean, actually in a career.
I mean, how you compose yourself, your behavior, I mean, dictates everything. It dictates your success with people, with either if you're working in an organization or with clients or research. I mean, it's really about how your behavior and how you compose yourself. And I think that that's a big thing, and I think that's something that's, I don't know, it's different from other professions, but it's really about, it's about you, it's not just about what you're doing, but also just, it's really focused on your behavior and your willingness to really just be there with the client or explore new things. So I think there's just, there's a bigger responsibility with that as someone who's in that field. And I think also when you're with a group of people too, because I've done a study abroad program when I was in college, and I think everyone in that program was prepared for things to be uncomfortable or things to not work out the way they had wanted. There's really this group agreement from the beginning that everyone was going to act a certain way and really be respectful and just respect for the program directors, the sites we went to, and our host families, and just really making sure that we were a good presence in the community where we were staying. And I think that's really important too, because I think it's just not about your behavior anymore. It's really your behavior reflects a group and the group experience as well.
Yeah. So you feel like there could have been more kind of education or preparation in that way?
Yeah, I think so. Because I think, I mean, again, the program I did when I was younger, it was definitely, I mean, there was more physical discomfort. There was less, I mean, there was less amenities. You know, it was a little bit more physical stress than the program in Lima. But yeah, I think definitely, I think a lot of students who haven't spent time abroad or even depending where they've gone abroad, that they really just need to be aware of their biases or their expectations and how they may or may not be met and how they'll deal with that. When they're in another country.
Are you talking about, like, physical comforts and the way things are run, kind of?
Yeah, it's even not having, you know, the hot water that they want or, you know, the food that they want or the brand or, you know, just again, living with someone else's family, a different schedule, or having to be in classes longer, go to a site when they don't have energy. I think just be prepared to not always be up for things, and but that's
still
also
do
kind of. Oh, sorry.
I said, and still do them.
right.
Going. Yeah.
And still, I mean, making that commitment and knowing that it's more than you too. I mean, that some of the sites they're waiting for you. They've prepared for you, and that maybe some things might be harder to see, like the reality of what life is for other people, but you know, that reality is not going to change if you're there or not. And so you need to be respectful for the people that are expecting you to come visit and talk with them.
Yeah.
No, I just know that, like, a couple other students I had mentioned this during the trip, I think that you can ask other students too, but I know some of the students that didn't have like an intermediate or higher level of Spanish, just occurred in passing some comments that it was harder for them to feel immersed because they were trying to focus so much on the language that it was harder to then also be immersed and have the energy for some activities. So I don't know if that's just a thought. I don't know if that is something that is for everybody, but that was just something that stayed with me. So I don't know if it's not true for everybody, but it sounded like that was something that made it harder for other people not to have the energy to be fully committed at certain points.
Because they were focused on school and homework, and then it was just kind of like another thing added on.
Or not feeling comfortable enough, or I think doubting themselves, or just feeling like they just couldn't even start a conversation with somebody.
In closing, do you have a favorite Spanish word or phrase?
I guess it's vale la pena.
Okay. That is a good one. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and your expertise and advice too, Hannah.
Yeah, no problem. And thank you for taking the time to give me a call.